Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Jay Stewart Podcast, part of the Off the Ball Network. This is episode 191, dedicated to a man who on April 19th, 1997, was named the first overall pick in the 1997 NFL Draft. The St. Louis Rams selected Mr. Orlando Pace. And as always, thank you for listening and downloading another episode of the podcast. On today's episode, we talk a little bit about the Sports Illustrated article about Trevor Lawrence, the man that kept and saved the Pacers and kept them in Indiana, recently passed away. We have a little segment dedicated to him. And then there was something that happened in my hometown that sparked a thought, put a thought in my head that we're going to close today's show out with. But first, Brad Stevens, Indiana University. IU thought they had a match made in heaven. They thought they had prepared for Brad Stevens an offer that he could not resist. What they had in mind was prepared to offer. And from what I have understood, it was not offered to Brad Stevens. However, IU said, hey, Brad, we know you're an Indiana guy in the state of Indiana. Brad, we know you're a phenomenal coach. Took Butler to back-to-back NCAA national championship games. And Brad, we know you're in Boston, but we want you here. On Saturday night, as Adrian Wojnarowski, I'm not going to say his name. You hear me stutter one time. Jay's going to back off on saying his name. But we hear Woj. You may have seen him on Twitter. And you may say, Woj drops bombs. Well, recently, Shams drops as many bombs as Woj does. So Woj bomb and a Shams bomb, it's one and the same. The man, the leader, the mentor, Woj, and Shams, the one that was underneath him, the one being tutored, Shams is on his own. Woj is with a different network now, and they're both dropping bombs on NBA basketball fans. Well, on Saturday night, I believe Woj was on TV on ABC with Maria Taylor and Jalen Rose preparing and prepping us for, I believe it was a Golden State Warriors-Boston Celtics game. And it's very fitting and interesting that Woj drops this bomb when the Celtics are about to play on TV the team that Brad Stevens coaches. And Woj, very smoothly, and it seems like the words just roll off his tongue, Indiana University was prepared to offer Brad Stevens a 7-year, $70 million contract. I'll say it one more time because some of you may have missed that. A 7-year, $70 million contract. And I was watching, no, I saw the clip. I wasn't watching it live. But I saw Jalen Rose when he reacted when Woj dropped that bomb there on the set there before the game that night. And man, Jalen Rose got out of his seat. He said, hold on. You know, we get, you know, well, I'll say we, you know how, you know, what I'm talking, what I, you know who I mean, the race I mean when I say we. You know how we get when we get a little shocked, a little startled, or we get some news that kind of just startles us. Yes, I know exactly the expression that Jalen Rose was expressing at that time because I have been there myself as well. A 7-year, $70 million contract. IU was prepared to offer that. The interesting thing about this, there are two. One, Brad Stevens early on made it clear he was not ready or thinking about leaving Boston to go and coach at Indiana University. An Indiana guy, he understands what Indiana basketball means to the state of Indiana, but didn't seem like Brad Stevens was going to leave. But then also, this reminded me of the offer that the then Oakland Raiders offered, did not just prepare, but they offered John Gruden when he was a Monday Night Football color commentator. John Gruden in the booth had a cushy job. He was doing what he wanted to do. I mean, he was calling one game a week, not doing all of the coaching every single day. He was still doing his film study and things of that nature. But John Gruden, I didn't think he was going to leave the booth. But he is a coach. He has been coaching. He has coached in his blood. And the Oakland Raiders offered him a deal that he could not resist. 10-year, $100 million contract. The difference between these two, Brad Stevens and John Gruden. John Gruden has won a Super Bowl in the NFL. Brad Stevens went to back-to-back national championship games. not winning either of them. However, it was with the Butler Bulldogs, but it was still a loss in both games. IU, you were prepared to offer that offer to Mr. Brad Stevens, but he made it very clear. He's comfortable and happy in Boston. Let's go ahead and take a trip to Clemson, South Carolina, because as his article's written about Trevor Lawrence, many of you turn Trevor Lawrence off. But I want to encourage you over the next few minutes to think twice about turning him off, because we got 3 years of football out of Trevor Lawrence. An article? Shouldn't be able to sway our opinion that easily. But first, check this out. Support for this podcast is brought to you by Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. They obsess over their technology developments to provide you the best tools for your grooming experience. Manscaped is trusted by over 2 million men worldwide. We have an exclusive offer for my listeners. 20% off plus free shipping with the code OTBN at manscaped.com. Once again, that is 20% off plus free shipping when you use promo code OTBN at manscaped.com. Some call him Trevor, others call him Sunshine. But no matter what you call the former Clemson quarterback, he is projected to be the number one overall draft pick in the upcoming NFL draft. And when you hear his projection in the upcoming draft, you already think you know how Trevor Lawrence thinks, how he lives his life, how he goes into every practice, into every game, and when he loses, you think you know what goes through his head when he's leaving the field. The Sports Illustrated article came out, and many people, unfortunately, did not read past the headline. They saw the headline, and they formulated their opinion about Trevor Lawrence and immediately wrote him off. But upon further review, there is more to Trevor Lawrence than just him playing football. And there's nothing wrong with that. Trevor Lawrence, the football player, the quarterback. We saw him at Clemson. I believe he had a 34-2 record as a starting quarterback at Clemson. 34-2. That's insane. Won a national championship his freshman year. Lost in the Natty his sophomore year to a Joe Burrow-led LSU Tigers team. And then this past season, we all remember, Ohio State smacked him, 21-point win. Clemson season was over, and Trevor Lawrence's collegiate football career was over as well. When I think about the success that Sunshine, yes, Sunshine, I am one of those individuals that calls Trevor Lawrence Sunshine. I've done it since he started playing college football, and I don't plan on stopping anytime soon. When I think about the success that Sunshine had on the football field, it reminds me of Ken Dorsey. Some of you youngsters might not recognize that name, but Google it. Google the 01, 02, and even 03, 2000, 2001, 2002 Miami Hurricanes teams. You will see, oh my goodness, those teams were loaded and littered with first round NFL talent, and they won a lot of football games. Ken Dorsey was the quarterback of the best college football team I have ever watched in my lifetime, but I've been able to understand what's going on the field. Some of you listening to this, you'll say, oh no, Jay, forget that. Not that team. Go back to the mid-90s. Those Tom Osborne-led Nebraska Cornhuskers teams, the ones that were winning right before he retired and stopped coaching the football. Okay, that's good. But my memory, I am a little too young to properly understand what was going on at that time in the mid-90s with Nebraska Cornhuskers and the football team. Honestly, I wasn't even a college football fan at that time. I know about college football. I had watched college football in the mid-90s. But I truly did not understand what college football meant or what was going on the field. I couldn't comprehend what I was watching. To me, it's the 01 Hurricanes led by Ken Dorsey and all the other talent that was there. Ken Dorsey's a winner. Ken Dorsey, just like Trevor Lawrence, won a championship, a national championship, also lost a national championship as well. Ken Dorsey's college football season, college football career was ended by the Ohio State Buckeyes, and Trevor Lawrence's college football career was ended by the Ohio State Buckeyes as well. Go back and watch that 03 Fiesta Bowl, one of the best bowl games of the early 2000s. Some say one of the best bowl games many people have ever watched in their life. Ohio State, big time underdogs, but they did come out victorious at the end of that game in double overtime. But go back and look at the parallels and the connections between Ken Dorsey and Trevor Lawrence. They are scary. Ken Dorsey, I don't think he's as good of a football player as Trevor Lawrence. But at the same time, the amount of success they both had on the field, it's pretty scary. The connections, they're definitely there. Trevor Lawrence going into the NFL draft, many people were wondering and hoping there would be an NFL combine. So there would be questions asked of Trevor that fans wanted to have answered. Maybe about his work ethic. Maybe about some abnormal things he does off the field. Maybe it's just about how he is in the locker room. Maybe it's about some of his hobbies that he has. Fans, I'm sure you're wondering those. And then maybe you were wondering about maybe some of the, when I say abnormal, I mean astronomically abnormal questions that some of these executives and coaches ask these individuals in interviews at the NFL Combine. No combine this year. All we have is a pro day. No private workouts there at the NFL team facilities. So we don't get the abnormal questions, or we don't get to find out the odd details about these athletes' lives. But then there is Michael Rosenberg of Sports Illustrated, senior writer at Sports Illustrated, who put together this phenomenal piece on Sunshine. And many of you probably saw the headline and said, nah, buddy, I'm turning this off. I am turning this off. I don't want to watch it. I don't watch it. What am I thinking? I'm watching football right now as I'm talking to you. I don't want to read it. I don't want to see anything. The headline says it all. You're talking about he's not all in. He's not 100% all about football. He doesn't give his all. He doesn't live, breathe, and eat football. Wake up football, lunch football, weight room football, dinner football, going out with the boys football, a date with his fiance football. That's not Trevor Lawrence. That's not the guy he is. And in this piece, in this article, you have to truly read the article to truly be able to get a small glimpse of what makes up Trevor Lawrence. He's not the guy that when he is playing football or when he loses, he lets the loss haunt him, as some people say, and the loss is haunting him or on his mind for a long time. Wake up the very next day. Man, that loss is horrible. How can I get better? A week later, how can I get better? 2 weeks later, how can I get better? Not saying Trevor Lawrence doesn't work on his craft and does not get better and does not practice, but when the ways that we hear athletes talk about games and how the game is everything, the game is all I have. I heard Bomani Jones numerous times talk about this guy is a can't go back all-star. I get it. It's a joke. I understand it. But the best athletes, and I thoroughly encourage people out there to have a way or have an escape or have something that's outside of your passion. May your job be being a business owner. Well, find a way to not let that consume you and have other hobbies. And so when you're leaving, you're able to turn that off and go to something else that can allow you to live a healthy, balanced life. Trevor Lawrence, this is made a comment and via Michael Rosenberg. This piece, this next phrase or paragraph that I want to read to you directly from the article, I think it's one of the biggest takeaways that I had from this article. I'm going to read this to you verbatim, word from the article, and you'll see why Trevor Lawrence's thought process is different and why he is made up of different things. Well, the same things, but he allows different ideas and thoughts to consume his head that are not all about football, and it helps him keep a healthy balance. Next words, right from the article. Quote, the sports world is teeming with people who use religion out of convenience. Lawrence vows never to sign an eight-figure contract and call it, quote-unquote, God's plan. That is narcissism, cloaked in religion. He will also enjoy the sport because he has always enjoyed the sport, not to prove his worth to some TV pundit. Lawrence will be the Christian he wants to be and the football player he wants to be. He will decide what he is getting out of his Sundays, end quote. And honestly, it's a healthy balance. He has a proper perspective, I believe, on life and how to go about being a professional athlete. And we've heard all about, I know family members that have used this. Oh, man's contract, that's God's plan. Okay, I understand that. I get that. But for him to call that narcissistic in that way, I completely get where he's coming from. And I don't believe it's a way for him to say, oh, no, God, his view of God is different, is wrong. We should never talk about Trevor Lawrence again. I am not doing that. I am not that guy. And I'm sure by now many people know that Trevor Lawrence is a Christian and he is not ashamed to speak out on that. Many people, when they saw this article, they said, oh, he's just another Andrew Luck. He's going to quit on his team. He's a guy that's not all about football. But think about your life. Don't you have some type of interest outside of your job or your career or whatever you do on a regular basis? My full-time job is not podcasting. I wish it was. But even if it was podcasting, I talk into a microphone a lot throughout the week. I have ways and I have things that do not allow this to consume me, because at times it does. And my friends say, Jay, what are you doing? How about you don't not let that consume you and go have fun? Get outside. Go do some things. Or if you had to stay inside for whatever reason, do something else to get your mind away from the day-to-day of podcasting and away from sports. Sports are fun, but sports should not consume us. Athletes, their job is fun. But should they let that sport consume them? Think about the person that's 100% of the time, 24/7, 365, that is wrapped up in something and they don't get away from it. Sometimes they become a little uneasy and not as much fun to be around. Imagine Trevor Lawrence with his fiance. If Trevor Lawrence plays a game on a Saturday, and then the very next day on Sunday, him and his fiance, I believe it's fiance, maybe girlfriend, I believe it's fiance, they go out to eat and there's football on. Okay, football's on Sundays. We all expect that in the fall. Trevor played Saturday. Lunch date on Sunday. Imagine if Trevor Lawrence was so wrapped up into football that he could not enjoy the company of his fiance, Marissa, whose name is in the article. I'm not just pulling that out of thin air. And it was something that was interfering with their relationship and it going to better and being as healthy as it should be. That would not be an ideal thing if you're focusing on something there when you have your fiance, the individual you're about to marry or you're planning on marrying, right in front of you. Some say that's crazy. Some say that's ludicrous. Some say he's out of his mind for not focusing on the sport and focusing on the sport at the level he will be playing at very, very soon. But let's think about this. You as a person, you may have your career. Some of you might be in school. Some of you might be having two jobs right now. Some of you might be parents. Imagine if your main focus in life, if you are consumed with that, your job or the one thing that takes up a lot of the most of your time. Imagine if you're consumed with that and that was the only thing on your mind. You couldn't get away from it. I venture to say there's a good chance your friends, your family, maybe your kids might say, look, I love you. I might like you a lot or just a little bit less than normal right now because you can't turn that thing off. And one thing I've learned to admire more about Trevor Lawrence after reading this article is his mindset. And he does have that off button, that off switch that so many athletes do not have. And Trevor Lawrence, yes, I believe he will have a healthy life outside of football because his perspective about being a professional athlete is a good one to have. For many people out there, it's very hard for them to think about the state of Indiana not having a professional basketball team. I mean, many people out there, myself included, when you think of Indiana, if it's a sport-related question, you think about basketball. Basketball, basketball, basketball. And as someone that grew up in Indiana and currently lives here, yeah, oh baby, it's basketball. From youngsters to middle school to high school to college and to pro. Basketball is king in the state of Indiana. Many of you have heard about the Indy 500 or the Indianapolis 500, the greatest spectacle in racing coming up Memorial Day weekend. I think that'll be sold out. I'm not sure how tickets will go for that, but there's a good chance that there'll be a lot of people in Speedway, Indiana at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway for that 500-mile race. But basketball's king in Indiana. I'm in my early 30s. The Pacers have always been here. But there was a time in the 70s, July 3rd, 1973, to be exact, that there was a thought that the Pacers would no longer be in Indiana and the team would have to close up shop. Then there's a man by the name of Slick Leonard and his wife Nancy. Nancy was the general manager, the first female GM, first female to hold that role in the NBA. And then you also had Slick Leonard, who was the coach, who at the time, a week prior to this telethon that they had to save the team, Slick Leonard was in Hawaii scouting players. Imagine that happening today. Yes, coaches do go out and scout, but do you imagine a coach going to Hawaii and not being on vacation? I mean, just be honest now. Do you see Brad Stevens going to Hawaii to scout? I mean, maybe, but primarily it's probably going to be for family or couples vacation, or maybe people that a coach's vacation is good to get away for a little bit at the end of the season. Do you imagine Steve Kerr going out to Hawaii to scout? I mean, my guess is there's a good chance he may go to Hawaii, but like Brad Stevens, it's probably going to be primarily for vacation. But think about how different things were in the 70s. You didn't have the millionaire and billionaire owners that you have now. You don't have the access and the resources that teams have now. Even traveling and going from one city to the next to play basketball. You're flying regular airplanes. Coach, you're not getting the chartered or private planes with luxury inside. Wow, I can't talk. With luxury inside, you're not getting that back then. So it's a different time period. And when you say you have to pay out and shell out a bunch of money, and then a week before your wife is nervous about losing a team, you get a phone call saying you have to come home, Slick Leonard, who just recently passed away, a man that embodies Indiana basketball. If there's one man out there that you think about Indiana basketball, who should I think about? Should I think about Reggie Miller or should I think about Quinn Buckner? Nope. Slick Leonard. Bobby Slick Leonard is his name exactly. First name William, but everybody calls him Bobby. Bobby Slick Leonard, look him up, Google him. You'll find out more about what he means to the state of Indiana and basketball. But there was a telethon, July 3rd, 1973. Slick Leonard, that's what everybody calls him. His wife, Nancy, was helping him, and they decided that they needed, that there was an amount of money and there were amount of tickets that needed to be sold to keep the team in the state of Indiana. The amount of tickets they needed to sell or seats they needed to fill, 8,000. Now, remember, back at this time, a lot of these people that are going to these games, they're hardworking people that don't have much money. So for you to say this team that means so much to you, that means so much to the city and the state, you have to come out and dump out some money and give us some money and help us keep this team here. Yeah, for you to donate anything, it surely means a lot. And one by one, people kept coming, young and old. You would bring cans. You have somebody that has cans. I had a can full of change. Dump it out. Okay, here you're assisting us. Oh, come on now. Oh, dump it out. Here you're assisting us. Oh, might I add you one thing really quickly? At this same time period, the owner of the Pacers was taking out loans. Literally taking out loans right now to simply get by. But the bank was also saying, hey, we're giving you loans right now. We're not getting the money back at the same rate that we would like. We're giving you a little leeway. Enough is enough. Another major detail that led to this telethon. Imagine now, we see telethons on TV. You may have TBN or you may have a Christian Network where there's somebody on TV saying, call this number, give this amount. This is going to happen to you. You're going to get blessed in this way. People nowadays, they call that a scam. They don't like those type of things. They don't like people asking for their money. And a lot of people are turned off by people in church that ask for money. However, if it's your sports team, a team in your city or your state, you're more liable and likely to do that and to help them. Imagine Chicago without the Cubs, New York without the Yankees, Boston without the Red Sox, LA without the Dodgers or the Lakers, Miami without the Dolphins or the Heat. I mean, you get the gist, right? Tuscaloosa without Alabama, Columbus without Ohio State, Austin without the University of Texas, Norman without Oklahoma, the Oklahoma Sooners. You get what I am saying. This team is a vital part and focus of this city and state for so many people. And the success that the team had is, I'm sure, a major selling point and something that's motivating people to donate money and not really donate money, to give money, yeah, donate money to the team to keep the team in the state of Indiana. About an hour before the telethon was over, Nancy was talking to Slick and she was about to start crying. I mean, tears were forming in her face simply because she did not think the team would stay. The team that meant so much to them, that Slick Leonard had his number or had a number retired there in Indiana. And not at this time, but after this time because of the success and the three championships that he won in the ABA and what he meant to the city and the team. They didn't want to lose this. Not just because of their jobs or their livelihoods, simply because of what it meant to them as people and what they knew this team meant to the community. Like I said, about an hour left, they're a little shy, and then lo and behold, what do you hear? Time's almost out. Remember I said earlier, they needed 8,000 tickets, 8,000 seats to be sold to keep the team in Indiana. I believe the final count that Miss Nancy ended up saying and cheers erupted when she yelled 8,028. That number came out and the team stayed in Indiana. Slick Leonard and Nancy helped keep the team in Indiana. And with Slick Leonard recently passing away this past week, many of you may have saw me on Twitter. If you don't follow me at jsteven07. You may have seen me say the words, boom, baby. That is a phrase that Slick Leonard coined and made so popular via his radio broadcast here in the city of Indianapolis, in the state of Indiana. Mark Boyle, his broadcast partner, Mark Boyle, has been calling, doing radio for the Pacers since I was born. Literally, since 1988. That's when Mark Boyle has been here, and he's been doing a phenomenal job ever since. But there was a time Slick Leonard made that phrase famous, boom, baby. His personality was very, very evident and clear in every broadcast. Well, Slick Leonard, there was one time he was very, very sick and his health had been failing him. He didn't say boom, baby. And Mark Boyle was not going to overtake the moment and keep going with the broadcast. He kept going with the broadcast, but he held back and he held back. And he said, I'm waiting. I'm waiting. And next thing you heard, Slick Leonard said, boom, baby. Boom, boom, boom. And that's exactly what I think about when I think about Slick Leonard. If he was having a phrase, if there was a phrase that Slick Leonard was to say when Nancy said 8,028, that phrase would have been, boom, baby, boom, 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 the Pacers are staying in the state of Indiana. Speaking of the state of Indiana, this is not planned when I put this together, but there were some events that happened on Thursday evening that make this seem like a fitting way to close out today's show. The Pacers in the state of Indiana, in the city of Indianapolis, in the situation that we're going to talk about to close the show, in the state of Indiana, also in the city of Indianapolis. Some of you may have heard about the shooting that took place at a FedEx hub in Indianapolis on Thursday evening. Around 11:10, there was a 911 call that was made. And on the 911 call, they were explaining what was going on at that FedEx and how there was somebody out there shooting. On the 911 call, you could hear 10 gunshots. I did not hear the 911 call. This is coming from articles that I have read about the situation. Unfortunately, 8 people lost their lives that were gunned down and killed by a bullet that was shot from a gun that came from a 19-year-old young man who already had issues as far as mental illness, and he was not mentally healthy. but didn't get the help that he needed. Ultimately, I don't know what prompted him going to FedEx at this time. He was a former employee of FedEx, not an employee at that time. But at this time on Thursday evening, he saw fit on him to for himself to drive to FedEx late at night in between shifts. He knew what was going on, I believe, as far as when one shift ended, when one shift started, and then the next thing you know, there are bullets flying. A guy I know, his car got shot. A young lady, I don't know her, but I have heard and I read articles. She got shot. She did go to the hospital and she is A-OK. Ended up, she was actually able to get a hold of her dad. Her dad went to the area, not to the scene, but to the area and then to the hospital to make sure his daughter was A-OK. But this shooter, a young 19-year-old young man, reminded me of something that I think a lot of us got reminded about when you hear about shootings like this. Oh, some people might say it's white supremacist. I'm not going that route. Let's not discuss that here at all. Some might say it was a racist act because there were some people of a community, of the Sikh community, I believe it is a majority Indian, that passed away. Four of the eight people, I believe, that passed away in this shooting, they were of this community. I'm not going to go that far and say this was a racist act because from what I have read and what people have told me, that young man pulled up at FedEx and just started shooting. Wasn't aiming at anybody. He just started shooting and bullets were going every which way. He also ended up, unfortunately, taking his own life, making it nine people that died that night, Thursday evening in Indianapolis, Indiana, due to this one mass shooting. But I was reminded about something that you never know what people are going through. I was on Twitter and someone said they worked with this guy and they said that they always found him to be off. I don't know. But I don't know if someone reached out to him and tried to help him at FedEx or one of his friends or one of his family members that wasn't his parents, because I do believe from what I've read about his parents, they did seek to get him help. And 24 hours after this young man initially last year talked to somebody about getting help, he went out and got a gun. He was suicidal back then. Unfortunately, suicide was the way that he went out. But you never know what somebody is going through. From Trevor Lawrence to the stuff with the Pacers, to your family, to your friends, to the athletes that we watch, to the people that we communicate via social media that we have never met, and those people we communicate with social media one time that we'll never meet ever. We never know what someone is going through, what someone has in their life that they might be struggling with. That young man, I've never met him before. I may have seen him, but I can't remember him at all from working at FedEx. I do work there as well. From pictures, maybe I saw him in passing somewhere. I have no idea. But I do know people that I joke around with. And your boy sometimes tries to push buttons and sometimes might go a tad too far, but things don't get out of hand. But you never know what people are going through. There's a guy that I work with that I'm really cool with him and I joke around every now and then. He has told me there are voices in his head while we are working. Said, the voices in my head are going crazy right now. I said, what are they saying? He said, it's not good. Okay, cool. Does Jay push forward or does Jay back? Literally, I backed off at this time. But I'm not perfect. And nobody out here is perfect. We all make mistakes. And this one thing reminded me with this individual and other people that I work with or that I may come in contact with. We have to treat people better. We as a group, we as a nation, we as a world, we have to treat people better. That is myself included. This situation in my hometown, in my city, I was 5 minutes away from being in the middle of that shooting. And I don't know why. I don't know what's going to happen in the future. But I firmly believe I was not there for a reason. A reason that I may never know. A reason that might not be shown to me for years to come. But I was almost there in the middle of that, literally. The shooting and the call came at 11:10. I was around the corner at 11:15. Most of the time, I am right there in that parking lot getting ready for work at that time. We never know what someone's going through. We never know what we miss by being early or late to a situation. Let's do better. Let's treat people better. There's a lot of hate. There's a lot of ugly behavior out there right now. Let's do better. Let's treat people better. We could all learn from situations like this. That young man could have gotten help, and maybe something happened to him when he was 16, 15, 14, lingered into his young adult life. And this is how he expressed himself based off a situation that happened when he was younger. We, myself, other people listening, everyone involved, we have to do a better job of treating people better. Thank you guys so much for listening and enjoying another episode of the J. Stevens Podcast. As always, you can follow me on Twitter at jstevens07. You can also send all of your emails to jstevens317@gmail.com. Remember to always subscribe, rate, and review. It's a great way for people that are searching for a new podcast to listen to come across this one. Then remember to always get the word out about the podcast via word of mouth. The things that we enjoy in life, we are almost willing and somewhat wired to tell other people about. So no matter if this was your first episode or if you have been listening since episode number one, be sure to let people know about the podcast. This has been episode 191 of the J. Stevens Podcast. I will see you next time.